Susan. Well, have you ever been frustrated when something didn't work the way it was supposed to? That particular frustration is one that frustrates me. We have been working on a project in our home doing kind of a kitchen remodel, and I live with another family. So as if having seven kids under age eight and two dogs wasn't enough, we tried to remodel the kitchen before Thanksgiving, because that's how we roll. I was working on this sink, and I was putting the sink in, and I'm told. And as I was working on this project, I was tightening the screw, and I'm in this awkward position, you know, under the sink, tightening this screw, and this happens to the screwdriver. It breaks, like on the tip. Now, like, tools break all the time, but it occurred to me, I'm like, why did this happen? You're a screwdriver. You have one purpose, and that is to drive screws. And you don't have any other purpose. I mean, I use you for other things, but this is the primary job you exist for, and you failed at it. And it drove me crazy because it wasn't like I was using a hammer or trying to, like, use a butter knife to tighten the screw. I was using a screwdriver, and if those things hadn't worked, then I would have been like, well, it's my fault because I was using the wrong tool. But when you use the right tool, it should work for the job that you have. Or the other day, I went to Dairy Queen. This is about 2 years ago, and I pulled up in the drive-thru, and I thought to myself, you know, I kind of want an ice cream cone. It was a nice, you know, warm day, and I thought, I'm going to go to Dairy Queen to get ice cream cones. So I pulled up to the drive-thru, and I say to them, I'm like, hey, you know, I'll just have a vanilla ice cream cone. And they said to me, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, we're out of ice cream. Would you like something else? And I laughed, you know, just like you did. I'm like, oh, that's funny. And I'm like, no, just the ice cream is great. And they're like, no, we're serious. Like, we're out of ice cream. And I'm like, this guy's totally trolling me, you know? I'm like, you're Dairy Queen. You're not out of ice cream, you know? And I'm just like, no, really. Just the ice cream cone is great. And he's like, no, I'm serious. We don't have any ice cream. And at this point, like, I went to my shame. I went from kind of laughing to, like, rage. I'm like, wait, you're Dairy Queen. You exist for one purpose, to provide ice cream. That's it. And they're like, well, we have other food. And I'm like, no one in the history of the world has ever said, I'm hungry, I want a cheeseburger. Let's go to Dairy Queen, their cheeseburgers are great. That has never happened. I'm like, you need to have ice cream. What are you doing open? And he's like, I don't know, man. I've just told to be here, and so I'm here. And I'm like, fine. And I just drove off. It was so frustrating to me that they wouldn't have ice cream. Why were they still open? Right. Obviously, my responses to these situations weren't ideal. They weren't great. But I think the reality is that we know that everything exists for a purpose. Yeah, they should have been closed. Everything exists for a purpose, right? It has, there's a right job, a right tool for the job. Everything has a purpose. And in fact, as followers of Christ, we're called to a greater purpose. We have a specific purpose, a specific mission that God has called us to. Welcome to Adventure. If you're a guest with us this morning, my name is BJ Hillebush, and we are going through a series called Live the Adventure. And this series is a series all about taking a look at some of the unique mission that God has called this church, as well as some of the core values. We call them streams that we're about here. And the vision that we feel like God has given us is to see hearts restored and people set free to adventure with God. And what that means is that we're not the ones doing the restoring, but we're pointing to Jesus, who is the restorer. And we get to join him in that incredible mission of being a part of that. And over the last several weeks, we've shared with you these different streams, kind of the core pillars of adventure. We shared with you that we believe a core pillar, a stream, is walking with God. It means inviting God into everything from the most mundane to the most extreme. Having a personal relationship with Jesus. Second, we believe that we are called to, the Bible says that we are called to a ministry of reconciliation, and that Jesus wants to make all things new, that his mission is restoration, and so we want to join him in that mission. The Bible talks all about spiritual warfare being a reality that we live in. We live in a world at war. And so we don't want to stick our head in the sand, but we want to recognize that there is a battle and that we need to be intentional in engaging in that battle, and we are warriors. The fourth, that was Nick shared with us last week about community, that God has called us to community. We are the body of Christ, and that each person has a unique role and a unique purpose to fulfilling and being part of the body of Christ, and we're called to be committed to that. And then today I want to share with you the last stream, which is mission. And when I say mission, I know sometimes we think specifically about going on a mission trip or missionaries, and that's definitely part of it, but that's not all of it. And so when I say mission, what I mean is this. I mean demonstrating our love for God by loving others the way he loves us. Demonstrating our love for God by loving others the way that he loves us. That's what it means when we say to bear fruit. And I think the way that we, as we look at this idea of mission, we all throughout Scripture we're told to go, to make disciples, to be fishers of men, to love our neighbors. And each one of these things are directives. And every single one of them is a call to action, a call to movement. It's not just, hey, you know, you receive my love and my forgiveness and my grace and just sit there and don't do anything with it. There's always a call to action, a call to movement. And that's what the stream of mission is about. It's a call to action. It's saying, if I truly have been transformed by the love and grace of Jesus Christ, then that should motivate me to action. It should motivate me to be on mission with the Lord, demonstrating that love by loving other people. If you have your Bibles with you, open up to John chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. We can get one to you. The book of John is found in the New Testament, which is kind of the second half of the Bible. It's found towards the beginning of that. And we're going to start in John chapter 15. In this particular passage, Jesus shares some a metaphor and shares some incredible gardening tips that we're going to get as he talks about who he is and who we are in him. And so I'm going to start off just by John 15, verse 1. He says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. So Jesus shows us, introduces this metaphor that he's a grapevine, and the Father is the one tending to that grapevine. Verse 2, it says, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And we are called to bear fruit. That's our purpose. That's what we've been made to do. That's our unique role. And we each, like tools, have a unique purpose. And your gifting and your mission might be different than mine. And the way that God uses your gifts and talents might be way different than the way that God uses my gifts and talents. But we are all called to bear fruit. But we can't do that apart from walking with God. We can't do that apart from walking and remaining in Jesus. And we're given this picture of pruning. I am not the person that should be pruning. Typically, I just kind of cut things until I decide it's good and usually kill the tree. But these are pictures of proper ways to prune to shape a tree. And you can look, this kind of looks kind of sad after it's pruned. But the idea is that when with proper pruning, it helps the tree to focus specifically on bearing fruit. That all of its efforts are going to producing more fruit. That's the purpose of pruning. It has value, even if it doesn't look super nice, or even if it doesn't feel very nice, sometimes as believers, right? Always God is trying to move us towards bearing fruit, move us towards action, towards producing. John 15, 6 through 8. Let's continue. It says, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great joy to my Father. So as disciples, our goal is to bear much fruit. And by doing that, we demonstrate that we're disciples. We demonstrate God's love for us. We say, yes, I've received that, and I'm going to go and I'm going to produce fruit. I'm going to go make disciples. I'm going to obey. And this brings great joy. I'm going to continue reading. This is verse 9. It says, I have loved you even as my Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you that these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. I love this part here because it talks about the love of God in us. If we remain in that love, if we understand that love, if we cover ourselves in that love, then it will overflow. That's the idea. If we're remaining in Christ, if we truly understand his love and the grace that we have, it should overflow. It should be visible to those around us. And he says, love each other in the same way I have loved you. And the way that he loved us is pretty intense. Verse 13 says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. You're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in slaves. No, you are my friends, since I told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. We're told to bear fruit. That's our purpose. That's our mission. And bearing fruit looks different for each one of us, right? But ultimately, it looks like demonstrating God's love for other people, right? That when we put on God's love, we understand its significance and we demonstrate that to others in our life. And that may mean something as simple as baking some extra cookies for your neighbor and bringing over and sharing Christmas cookies with your neighbor and loving them and inviting them to church. That may mean God calls you to be a missionary somewhere. Whatever it is, and anything in between, we are all called to bear fruit, to produce, to be on mission. And that's what this stream is all about. And I want to invite Wes and Judy Robbie up here to share a little bit of their story. Wes and Judy Robbie have been members of Adventure for quite some time. They moved up to Leavenworth, but they are still active involved in adventure at Adventure Church, but they spend a good portion of their time in the Philippines, and they are missionaries from Adventure. And I'll let Wes tell more of that story, but he's going to share a little bit about how God has called him to him and Judy to a very unique and powerful mission, specifically to bear fruit in the way of loving some people that many would view as unlovable or even unreachable. And so I thought, who better than to share what does it look like to answer the call of being on mission with God than Wes and Judy. So would you join with me in welcoming them? Thanks.
Thanks, BJ. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. We ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would fill this place. Ask, Lord, that each word that we say, each thought that we share would bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I say, we are so happy to be here today. This is like coming home for us. This is our home church, and it's great to see so many friends here today. Our story goes back to the beginning for us at this church. We were missionaries in the Philippines for 3 years, and I thought we were going to be missionaries there forever. I had taken early retirement, and we went over to the Philippines, and after 3 years, everything fell apart, and I found that we were back here in Duval, and I was really bummed out. I was depressed and wondering what we were going to do next. The only bright spot for us was we were in this church. And like I say, I was depressed. One Sunday, I was standing in the parking lot next to our car, trying to avoid all human contact. Judy was in here, being her usual cheery, chatty self, chatting up all the people that she could. I was standing out by the car, and this guy comes walking across the parking lot towards me, and I thought, oh no, he's going to come and talk to me. I just know he is. And sure enough, he comes up and he talks to me, and he says, God told me to tell you it's not all over. And I thought, oh, great, this guy is really weird. He thinks God talks to him. And he walked away, and I continued feeling sorry for myself. And then, a few weeks or a few months later, I get a call from the pastor, and the pastor says, we in the lead team, we've been listening to the Lord, and we think that he wants you to serve on the lead team. And I thought, oh man, that's weird. The whole lead team thinks that God's talking to them. But I said, all right, I'll serve on the lead team. And so then the lead team starts talking to me about the fact that they think that God talks to Christians these days. And they said that, oh, sometimes he talks to him to us in pictures, sometimes he talks to us in our spirit, sometimes it's through the Word, and so on and so forth. Well, I was still skeptical. But then something really weird happened. God started talking to me. Wow. And God started talking to me through the Word. And he started bringing this thought to my mind about fruit bearers, bearing fruit, and more about bearing fruit. And pretty soon he said, I want you to start an organization called Fruit Bearers. And I thought, wow. And he said, I want you to go back to the Philippines with this organization called Fruit Bearers. And I thought, could this guy, this weird guy that came across the parking lot, could he have been really listening to God? And so I said, well, okay, I'll do it. And so I went through all the legal hoops to start an organization, a real organization here in the U.S. called Fruit Bearers. Then I went back over to the Philippines, and I went through all the hoops of starting a real organization in the Philippines called Fruit Bearers. By this time, I'm 65 years old. That was 7 years ago. Do the math. So I was 65 years old, and I come back to the States, and I'm still feeling, you know, can this be true? I'm supposed to be retiring. And so I say to the lead team, I'm having doubts about this. Do some more praying. And they come back to me and they say, yep, you're supposed to keep going. And so I kept going. My wife, my wonderful wife, was willing at her age, equal to my age.
I'm much younger.
To become a missionary in the Philippines again with me. That's how Fruit Bearers got started, right from this church 7 years ago. And today we are going to show you, those of you who are new and have never seen anything about Fruit Bearers, we're going to give you an introduction. Those of you who have even been there, some of you, you're going to get an update, and some of you who know about it, you're going to get an update as well. And so, here we go. The name of our organization is Fruit Bearers, and it's based on John 15:8, which you just heard about from BJ. When you bear much fruit, you bring glory to my Father, and you prove that you are my disciples. We do our work in the Philippines. The Philippines is a country of islands, 7,107 islands. And we do our work on the island of Negros, which is right there in the south central part of the Philippines. It's the fourth largest island in the Philippines, and it's smaller than King County, and it has 4.5 million people on it. And this is a close-up of Negros. It's made up of two provinces, Occidental, which means west, Oriental, which means east, and we do all of our work in Oriental. It is the poor side of the island, and we think that's why the Lord sent us there. This was the first child that the Lord sent us to care for. Her name is Geneseel. She was terribly burned in a kerosene fire in her home. They had no electricity in their home, and so the way they had light at night was a kerosene lantern. It got away from them, and it burned Geneseel terribly. The parents had no money to get her the care that she needed. Her scar tissue was pulling her apart as she grew. At this time in her life, she couldn't swallow. They had to just take some milk and rice and pour it down her throat to keep her alive. She couldn't blink her eyes. They had to put wet compacts on her eyes so that she could blink and not lose her eyesight. Another organization had found her and had given her one surgery, but they had run out of money, and she was getting in real trouble. At that time, the Lord gave us the privilege of getting in contact with Geneseel. We were able to raise some money from some wonderful people, got her many, many surgeries, and this is Geneseel today. Wonderful girl. One of the great things that happened is Geneseel and her whole family came to know the Lord through this process. One of the things that we get involved is in as many different medical situations. This little girl, can you imagine going to school looking like that each day? We do many of these types of surgeries. This little girl went with her mother and one of our social workers to a clinic and got some surgery, and a week or so later came back and went to school looking like this. And like I say, we've had the privilege of doing many of these. This little girl is totally deaf, and she also needed heart surgery. And you can see how thin she is and so on. She is just a wonderful girl. Today, she is a teenager, and she is just full of personality, and she has had her heart surgery, thanks to Fruit Bearers, and she's just healthy and a wonderful girl. This little girl, her name is Judy Ann, same as my wife, and I found her way up in the mountains in a village, and I asked the people in the village, I said, do you get very many foreigners up here? And they said, you're the first one. And so Judy Ann, we were able to get her to a school where she's learning Braille, and we see her every time we go over there, and wonderful little girl. Another thing that we get involved in is special projects. We go to the homes, of course, of the kids that are sponsored, and we find that they live in terrible situations. These little girls live in this home, and that's one of our pastors. And you can see the roof of their home, and when it rains, which it does a lot over there, the rain doesn't even slow down, of course, when it comes in the house, and the walls in the background. We get involved by providing the supplies because they can't afford them. And so we provide the supplies, but the family does the building. We don't just do everything for them. So that's a father, and he does the building, he and his family and his friends. And so they have an investment in it, and they're very proud of it when they're done. And this is their home as they're partway through it. You can see the roof. It's a metal roof that will last many, many years. And you can see the cement floor. He's working on the cement floor. And so it's not going to be mud anymore. it's going to be cement, and they're going to have a much better house than they had before for those precious little girls. Spiritual growth. That's really what we're all about, of course, is the spiritual growth. And one of the ways we get involved in that is Vacation Bible Schools. And this started way back in the beginning. And vacation time over there is April and May. That's the hottest time. And it's always hot, but that's the hottest time. And we get involved by going out to neighborhoods. The kids can't come to a central location, partly because it's a long ways and partly because they just can't afford it. So we go to them. And usually it starts out kind of small. And we'll just have a few kids in a... But then they tell their friends about it. And it gets bigger and bigger. And by the end of about 4 or 5 days, we've got a whole bunch of kids. And we just have a great time. We, of course, provide all the supplies and all the snacks and everything. And the kids have a wonderful time. They hear about Jesus. Another thing that happens is they bring their parents. And so a lot of adults hear about the Lord also. This past year, April and May, we went to 13 different locations, and we presented Jesus to over 600 kids and many, many adults as well. I'm going to have Judy tell you about a couple of the churches that have sprung up as a result of our work.
Well, if you look at this church, actually this church came out of this church. That was our very first church. And a lot of the funds for building that church came from this church. And what happened is it got too small. And so a lot of the people were walking maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours to get here. And we would actually give them transportation to go partly by vehicle. And so we decided that we needed to, and the congregation got together and agreed that they needed to plant a church. And so we've planted a house church in the neighborhood where a lot of the people were coming from. We put a new roof on so they didn't get rained on. And there it is. Now, those of you that were with us, if you looked around the corner there, there would be a little basketball court. And there's a tent that goes on there for the kids. So those of you that went with us, that should look real familiar to you. Only now it has a metal roof instead of a leaky grass roof. Yeah, Genesil's grandma. This church, you should be recognizing too. All the kids are looking at something. What are they looking at? They're looking at the team that went to the Philippines, the drama team. That's what they're looking at, and they're putting on their drama. Unfortunately, the landlord wanted the building back. Time to go. And the people gave everything they had. What they could afford was a piece of land. That was it. And then they found a little bit of money, and they got cement blocks. They were paying their pastor $10 or $12 a month, plus the rice on the altar and fish on the altar. That's what he had. That's how poor they had become. They had had a feeding program, and they could not continue it. So we got involved. You guys, that is more than a church. This is, the people look at it in the neighborhood and they think, wow, this is a miracle church. And I want you to see something. Oops, excuse me. See the arrow? They have their feeding program. And not just the people in the congregation, everybody in the neighborhood is invited. It's four times a month. And they come from the sea because the fishermen are very poor, and they come from the mountains because the mountain people are very poor. We don't have time to tell you this, but I can tell you they're having a huge impact on their neighborhood. This is an area that we tried and tried and tried to go into, and there were spiritual forces that would not let us. And we are there now. The Lord is there now.
Another of the churches that has sprung up is way up in the hills. A lot of the land in Negros is sugarcane. And This is one that's way up in the hills in the sugarcane country. And that's one of our pastors. He's pointing as we are walking way up to this little church that has started. And here we are at the church. Now, what usually happens is it starts out as a Bible study in somebody's home. And then when it attracts enough people, it outgrows the home. The homes aren't very big. It outgrows the home. And then we give them the funds to build what's called a shade shelter. And that's what we have here. That's the shade shelter that the congregation has built. And Judy and I are visiting for the first time. And there's the part of the congregation that goes to that little shade shelter. Now, I hit the wrong button there. Got to back up another one. There. Now I hit the right button. There he is. That is the pastor of that church. Now, that man was the leader of a local rebel group, militant rebel group that fights against the local army. And they're the real thing. They use live ammunition, and they shoot at one another, and they kill each other. And but this guy, he became a Christian as a result of his son, who is that young man right there, who became a Christian through Fruit Bearers. And that young man kept after his dad, and his dad accepted the Lord, and of course, it totally changed his life. And so his dad turned his life around, and he turned himself in to the authorities and became a strong Christian, became the pastor of that little church. He still works in the sugarcane fields during the week, but on the weekends, he's the pastor. He had a brother who did not turn his life around, did not commit his life to the Lord. He was killed in one of those firefights that I was talking about. These little guys, I put that in just to show you. They were in that church where we were, and they're having so much fun with those balloons. Judy takes little toys and gifts wherever we go for the kids. And those of you who have been there, you remember that probably. But their parents cannot afford to buy them a balloon. So these are the first balloons or toys these kids have ever experienced. And so I just want to show you that and how much fun they're having. Okay, Judy's going to tell you about a couple more.
Wes hasn't said this, but we actually have 3 full-time pastors now and 2 part-time pastors. Isn't that cool? This started out as a vacation Bible school, and the little kids said, "What? We're done? After only a week? Can't we keep coming?" And our pastor said, "Yes, you can. You can come every single week." And so what's developed is a church of all children. There's about 20-some there. The church itself has 52 kids. And they were sitting out, no matter if it's hot, they'd sit out there. If it's raining, they'd sit out there. They came every time. So we built a shade shelter. Now, those of you that were over there, do you remember the shade shelter? They actually put the varnish on the inside, half the team. We also discovered that those kids were hungry. And so we decided to start a feeding program. And they come once, it's 4 times a month, and it's a children's church. So guess who's serving? It's the kids. There's 52 kids there now and only 2 adults. So there they are. We also started, we realized that a lot of them weren't eating lunch either. So we decided to visit their homes and see who was the neediest of the needy, and we would start a new program called Love in a Lunch Bog. That means bag. And so here's one of the homes. Oh, excuse me. At Christmas, we sent home a Christmas present with all of our little kids. There's about 40 there, I think. And what do you think they're taking home with them? Rice. And they carry it home on their head. And they were very excited. They loved their Christmas present. There's the home. And these are 2 of our children's church congregationalists. And the oldest one is 16 and the other one's 11. I said, okay, this is a formal intake, formal interview. I've got a social worker here. Where's your mom? Well, she's not here. She's far away. She's in Manila. She couldn't make any money, so she went to Manila, and she sends money home sometimes. I said, oh, where's your dad? Well, we don't have a dad. We don't know him. We've never known him. Oh, so you who live here alone? Mm-hmm. They're very proud of their house. There's a dirt floor. There's a trench alongside it to keep the water out. And there's the walls. Do you think it keeps the water out? It's a little tart, but they're very happy. So the oldest boy, who was 16, made a picture to show how he feels about his children's church, the church of all children. I won't explain it to you, but I'll tell you what. When I saw that, it touched my heart. There's his little brother, and I said, he says, well, I am the choir leader. I said, really? Okay. Well, why don't you sing one of the songs for us? He says, okay. And so here's two members in the church, and there's the choir leader.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open.
Are they cute or what? Actually, I didn't tell the morning group this, but now we have a little choir group, and they go traveling twice a month. We're trying to hang on to our kids. We're making them interns. So how can you help? You guys, the most important thing really and truly is prayer. You go into territory that the devil is, and you are going to have resistance, and we have had a lot. We have been able to penetrate because we are followed by prayer before and after. The other one is sponsor a child. When you sponsor a child, you sponsor a family. And I'll go over that in just a minute. Give to the general fund and share fruit bearers with others. And that's really what BJ's doing here. He's sharing fruit bearers with everybody in this room. Sponsoring a child is, there's an error here. Wes says, what were you going to say about that?
Well, it's really $35 a month, but it looks like there's inflation. So there's...
It's $35 a month, and it helps a child. And it keeps a child in school. It feeds the family. But probably most important is it opens the doors of the heart of the entire family. That's why we have churches springing up. We actually have 5 churches now. And the money goes directly to the family. Here, this is me, Jenny Rose. She's from a family with, there's 4 kids in it. A lot of times they don't have enough to eat, so they have planted eggplants all around their house. I never saw so many eggplants in my life, and that's what they eat when they don't have enough money to get rice. This is her bathtub. She says, I want to show you our bathtub, because they don't have any running water. So I walked down their lane, I walked across the road, I went down a field, and finally came to a stream, and this is a spring. She says, look, it's clean. There's no carabao in here, nothing in here. And this is my bath. I said, oh, that's great. Isn't she cute? There she's in. I just put this one to say thank you. This church has been so involved and important to fruit bearers. Even this picture. These are kids that were out of school, and I said to the principal, who are your poorest of poor? And you noticed that they're wearing the same clothes every single day. And I said, well, these dresses were made by some ladies that came out of this church. There's Carolyn. There's someone else here too. Where is she? That sews clothes. And we take them over. And these kids had one set of clothes. And now they have 2. So thank you to you all.
Well, thank you. In the back, we have a little display about kids that can be sponsored. We were here at the first service, and almost all the kids were taken, so we only have about 3 left, I think. But if you want to sponsor a child, and there are none left when you get there, fill out a card anyway and tell us if you want a boy or a girl, and we will send you one. We have more. We just didn't bring them all with us today. And so thank you very much for your attention, and we really thank you for the opportunity to tell you about Fruit Bearers. And once again, it wouldn't be here. Fruit Bearers would not be there if it wasn't for this church, and we are so appreciative, and they are too. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wes and Judy. So if you don't know, Adventure Church, by giving to Adventure Church, you have been supporting Fruit Bearers since it started. 7 years ago, Adventure began to support Fruit Bearers ministry and has continued to do so every month since then. And so thank you. Thank you for giving regularly here. Thank you for joining in that. And I was talking with Wes before the first service, and he shared with me how when they sponsor a child, when anyone sponsors a child, they actually give the money to the family and work with the family to manage that. And the question that's always asked, either directly or indirectly, is, well, why would you do that? Like, why would you support us? Who is doing this? And their response is always, it's not us. It's the Lord that's doing this. He's the one that's providing a way. And out of that, church after church after church are being planted because people are moved simply by Wes and Judy saying, yes, Lord, we're going to show the love that you've given us to the world. And we as a church body get to be a part of that. And so as we kind of wrap up this Live the Adventure series, being on mission means demonstrating God's love, the same love that he's given us to anyone. And maybe your story is not like Wes and Judy's. Maybe God hasn't called you to the Philippines. Maybe he is. Maybe you are the next person in line to jump on the team with Wes and Judy. And I hope there's someone here that's your story. But if it's not, each one of us are called to bear fruit, to be on mission. And so maybe that means simply coming down on Friday night and helping pass out cookies and apple cider. Or maybe being on mission looks like making the choice to intentionally engage with the family member at the holiday that is always checked out. Or maybe it means loving your coworker enough to actually share that you are a follower of Christ and offer to pray for them when they're going through a hard time. Or maybe it means saying yes to that invite to serve in a particular ministry. Or maybe it means setting aside some extra Christmas bonus and giving to advancing the kingdom of God. Or maybe it means signing up to sponsor a child. Or maybe it means praying about a serious job transition to free you up to jump into a ministry that maybe God's been leading you in. Or maybe it means saying yes to a call to missions that's been on your heart for a long time. Whatever it is, we are all called to be on mission. We're all called to demonstrate the same love God has given us to the rest of the world, to bear fruit. And that's what it looks like, and that's what being on mission is here. And if you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you've never experienced that love, I would love the opportunity to share with you after service. So if you just come find me, I'd love the opportunity to tell you about the amazing love that Jesus Christ has shown me and is offering to you. So as we close our service, I want to invite the worship band up, and we're going to sing a song just celebrating the mission of the church and what God has called the church, the mission of the church, and the purpose that we have. And as we close this series called Living the Adventure, we're going to kick off an Advent series for kind of the Christmas season beginning in December. So would you just join with me in prayer? Jesus, we thank you. God, we thank you for the amazing love that you've given us. And Lord, we pray, as in John 15, that our hearts would be overwhelmed with joy, and that joy would overflow, and that love would overflow, that we would love others and with the same sacrificial love that you've given us, that we would give of our time and our talents and our treasures to love the people that you have placed in our story. And so, Jesus, we We thank you for all that you're doing, and I pray, Lord, that each one of us would leave today with a specific goal of how to love, to intentionally show love, to be on mission with you. And God, we thank you that just like Wes and Judy's story, an amazing story of restoration and being called to be an adventure with you, Lord, as we step out and try to fulfill the vision that you've given us as a church, to see hearts restored and people set free to adventure with God. I hope that Wes and Judy are just one of many that have been restored by your amazing love and sent out to join you on mission. So Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for what you're doing in the Philippines. We thank you for what you're doing here in our hearts and in this community.